Hello and welcome to episode 47 of the Creating Happy Writers podcast. Thank you for joining me. It's Steph Caswell, your host, and I'm really delighted that you are back for another episode. If, however, this is your first time, then a very warm welcome to you. I'm a multi-published author and a writing coach on a mission to take the overwhelm, confusion and frustration out of the writing process and give you the confidence and knowledge you need to embark on your own writing journey. If you want to get even more support from me, head on over to Substack where you can find my newsletter, The Write Stuff. It's absolutely free and it's all about writing and publishing. You can find me at stephcaswell.substack.com. You can also get a copy of my book, Dare to Write, which takes you all the way from initial idea to publication. It's on my website at stephcaswell.com/shop, or you can find it on Amazon. And finally, if you're ready to write your book, which I hope you are, come and join my group program, which is called Foundations. It teaches you the three fundamentals of writing nonfiction: confidence in your concept, certainty as to who your ideal reader is, and clarity on your structure. Without these foundational pillars in place, I think it's so much harder to write your nonfiction book. So if you want to join us for ease and simplicity and some great companionship on your writing journey, then come and join Foundations. The waiting list for the May cohort is now open, and I'll put all the links to those things in the show notes. Without further ado then, let's crack on with today's episode, which is all about preserving your creative energy and why, most importantly, you should. Protecting our creative energy is so important for so many reasons, and recently I've been struggling to protect mine. I've been doing everything in my power to try to keep the energy flowing, but it hasn't been working, and it's been difficult. Writing's such an important part of who I am, it's such an important part of my life, in more than just writing a book type space. It's an important part of my life because it's my creative output, and I write because I love it. And when I can't do it to the best of my ability, it can feel really challenging for me. And these last few months have been really challenging because the creative energy I usually have for my books and for my personal writing is, or has been, really lacking. And I have two sort of arms to my business. I have the arm of my business that is supporting authors and writing books myself. But I also have a copywriting arm of my business, which takes up quite a large chunk of my time. And in the last few months, probably over a year now, I've been feeling as though a lot of my creative energy goes towards my client copywriting work rather than into my author work. And this is really difficult when your ambition is to be a full-time author, when you are finding that your creative energy is going everywhere but your books. It's really challenging, and it has challenged my mental health. It's challenged my well-being, it's challenged my confidence, and everything else that can come with doing creative work has really been affected. And I've had to make a big decision in these last few weeks, probably a few months, where I've had to think, do you know what? I need to refocus, I need to reprioritize, I need to get some of that energy that's missing back. And it's not easy. It's not easy to do that. I'm somebody who reads a lot about Stoic philosophy, and within Stoic philosophy there is a phrase called memento mori, which basically means, you know, reflecting on the fact that you're going to die and trying to remember that we're going to die. And this might sound very morbid to start to a podcast, and I don't mean it to, but it's really integral to how I think about my writing, because I want to get to the end of life. I want to be at a point where I'm hopefully old, and I'm reflecting back on what I managed to do with my creative life. And because writing a book, or writing more than one book, writing novels, writing nonfiction, is what I want to be doing, I want to remind myself that when I get to the end of life, I want to be looking back and thinking, I did everything in my power to achieve those goals. I don't want it to be something that I get to the end of life and I think, I wish I had done more of that. I wish I had put my books first. I wish I had protected my creative energy and done more of the things that are important to my writing career. And it's a really tricky one. And I'm sure you'll be able to relate to being able to find time and space to write, but also having to run a business, having to do the stuff that brings in the income, like author work, like copywriting. Both of those things make up my business, and my books are part of it, yes, but also they're not something that is my primary income stream. They are something that is an additional to. And that I'm always honest with people when I say, when you're writing a book, it's not going to be the thing that you're able to retire on. It's something that adds to your business. It complements your business and brings in all the other opportunities that bring in really good income. So it's a tricky one. It's a really, really tricky one for me, because I want to be able to put so much of my energy into my novel. And if you've been following me for a while, you'll know I'm writing a cozy crime novel. It's a new genre for me, so it's taking up a lot of headspace. But because I don't have a lot of headspace to give it, it actually feels like it's draining me, and I feel really resistant to that. So I think it's important to acknowledge at this point that I am somebody who works to the point where I struggle with remembering that I need to have a good balance of stuff that helps to replenish my creative energy. I don't do that very well. And I have to squeeze in, as you well know, my writing into 30-minute sprints so that I'm really getting it done when time is limited. And if you know my social media, if you've listened to me on the podcast before, you'll know that I've written all my books in 30-minute sprints, and I found that that is when I'm busy, when I've got a business to run, or when I was working full-time as a teacher, that was the only way that I could write my books. And it's still the case today. And I don't know whether, when I get to the point where I'm able to write for more of the day, whether I will be able to write for hours. I don't think I will. I think I'll always break it into 30-minute, maybe 60-minute sprints. But I wouldn't never be able to sit for hours at a time. And I think that would drain me a lot. So it's really important to consider that as well, that actually I'm not aspiring to have more time per se. It's actually around this whole idea of creative energy. I have had to make tricky decisions in these last few weeks about what's important to preserve my energy, to put more of it into what I want to be doing. Because, as I said, I don't want to be one of those people that regrets having not done these things. And if you've ever read Bronnie Ware's book, The Five Regrets of the Dying, one of them is that I didn't do things to make me happy. And I think that's really the crux of it. Writing makes me happy. Writing brings me so much joy. And when I'm not doing it, or when I'm not doing the type of writing that I really want to be doing, it affects me. And I thought possibly that actually for a lot of us, when we're on the writing journey, we can go through peaks and troughs of how we feel. And this is a case of me being in a bit of a trough. I am in a creative trough. I'm not in a creative peak. And it's been going on for the longest it's ever gone on for. And peaks and troughs are natural. They're part of the creative process. But this one has felt like it's been too long. So I had to make a decision about how much time I was going to be putting into the copywriting side of my business, and how much of the time I need to sort of readjust and put back into protecting my creative energy and therefore writing more of the stuff I want to be writing when it comes to my books. The research shows that happiness is all about how aligned you are with what you're doing, what you're saying, how you're being, and whether that's actually true to how you are on the inside. And there is a story, there is an anecdote that's quite well told about the whole idea of a plane. And if you're a few degrees off course when you take off, you will end up landing miles away from where you were supposed to be. And I like that analogy when I think about this, that for the last couple of years, I've been veering off course. I've been on this flight and I've been just a few degrees off course, and then a few more degrees. And then you end up going down a route which maybe you hadn't planned on going down quite so much. And therefore, the destination I'm at now is somewhere which is further away from where I want to be than actually I feel is the right place to be. And as you know, again, if you've listened to the podcast episode around writing goals, you'll know that I don't set rigid goals. I set myself on a course. I know what I want my destination to be, and the decisions I make are based on, will that take me further towards my destination, or will it take me further away? And I think what I've been forgetting to do, and what is quite easy to do when you're creative, is to do those things where you make decisions that perhaps you need to spend longer considering before you make the ultimate choice. And what's happened is I've become so further away aligned from where I should be that it's now at a point where it's like, actually, I can barely see the destination, let alone feel like I'm on my way to it. So I want to explore over the next few minutes just this idea of how can we protect our creative energy? How can we stay aligned with the things that we want to be doing with our writing, with any creative endeavor? How can we carve out the time that's needed and keep our energy levels at a reasonably high place? It's not going to be something that's guaranteed. You're never going to always be feeling totally in the mood for writing. And the research shows that actually writing isn't like that. Writing motivation, well, for anything, motivation comes at the end of doing something. You're not waiting to feel motivated to write. You have to do the writing to feel motivated. And that's the joy of being creative, but also, I guess, the frustration for a lot of us. So I've got four ideas about how we can protect our creative energy. And these four ideas are going to be things that I'm going to be putting back into place for myself over the next few months, because I know that I have to do this for me. I have to do what feels right and to get my energy levels back up. So the first one is prioritizing creative time in our diaries. And this can be really hard when we have clients we work for, or it can be really hard when we've got so many meetings that are in the diary. Perhaps if we've got a virtual assistant, it's tricky because meetings are put in the diary. And so it's thinking now, how can you prioritize some creative time? And you'll be surprised at how many people are shocked, a little bit confused when I say that I only write in 30-minute sprints, that I've written all my books in 30-minute sprints. But the key to the 30-minute approach is the consistency. It's the little and often. It's the compound effect. It's not going to a cabin in the woods and writing for hours and hours each day and having days on end where I can devote to my writing. And some people can do that, and that's fantastic. But for most writers, it's the case of showing up and doing the work. And I find that having little rituals can help. And I'm not sacrificing the cat, before you worry. I am talking about things that you can do that get your brain into the writing zone. So for me, my writing zone is often, not always, but very often, my desk. And when I sit down with a good coffee at 9 a.m. every morning for 30 minutes, that tells my brain I'm in writing mode. I'm in creative mode. And to protect that, I keep my phone on Do Not Disturb. I turn off all notifications on my computer, and I put on the same playlist on Spotify to make sure that I am telling my brain, I'm signaling to it, this is my writing environment. This is the playlist that means I'm going to be writing my book. And you'll be surprised at how much it helps your brain to settle into the process. So these rituals can be really helpful when it comes to building our energy back up. Because I'm not asking myself to sit for hours, it means that I can keep momentum and motivation high. What's been lacking for me recently is this consistency. And when I have sat down at 9 a.m, I may only have 15, 20 minutes, and already I'm thinking to myself about what else I need to be doing, or I'm letting other things come into my headspace, and that's not helpful. But at the same time, it's only happening because I'm overloaded with other things that really I need to start saying no to. So what rituals could you do? What could you do to help you signal to your brain that you're in writing mode? It might be that you're somebody who needs to write somewhere else. It might be that actually to write your best work, to get into the zone, you need to be in a coffee shop. You need to be somewhere completely different in the house. It doesn't have to be out anywhere. It could just be a different room, a different desk, a different environment. Whatever it is, think about how your environment impacts your energy and your mood. And it really can have a big difference. Sometimes I write in a coffee shop because I like the white noise. I like the fact that I'm not really paying attention to everything that's going around me. And it's weird because at home I like to be in the peace and quiet, and I'll have music playing that has no lyrics, because it means then I'm not letting those words infiltrate the words I'm trying to create on the page. But somehow when I go into a coffee shop, I can be absolutely focused, and it's fascinating how the brain works and what it can block out. So have a think about your environment. Have a think about the time you write. I write in the morning. That's the best time for me. That might not be the best time for you. You might be a night owl, in which case, write then. You might be somebody who likes to write in the afternoon, straight after lunch. It doesn't matter when you write. It's just the fact that you need to carve out the time each day, and it can really help if it is the same time. And it might be that you can do it 3 times a week. If you've got a very busy week ahead of you, look in your diary. When could you fit in a 30-minute sprint? It might not be every day, and that's okay. But it could just be that you're able to do it 2 or 3 times that week. Talk to your VA. If you've got a team, talk to your team. How are you going to carve out this time where you're not disturbed so that you can actually get your creative work done? Part of that is also boundary setting. I'm a recovering people pleaser. I find it really hard to disappoint other people. And when I put my phone on Do Not Disturb, there's a part of me still that panics, that thinks, oh my gosh, somebody might really need me in this next half hour. And it's fascinating, isn't it, to think about how mobile devices have created this sense of urgency and this sense of entitlement from other people, that when they contact us, we will immediately respond. And that comes down to boundary setting. That comes down to being really strong about what you will and won't accept when it comes to invasion of your time. And it's hard for me to put my phone sometimes on to Do Not Disturb because I worry that I'm going to miss something. But actually, in reality, it's half an hour, isn't it? Half an hour of life. How can that be something that is so precious to somebody else when it should be so precious to us? So obviously, you might have key numbers that can get through to you, my husband, my kids, my parents. So if there was a real emergency in that time, I'm still contactable. But for the majority of people, actually, I'm not. And if you send me something during that time, you're going to have to wait until the half an hour is up. And it sounds ludicrous when you say it out loud, but you'll be surprised at how tricky it can feel to put this boundary in place. The other boundary is around your ability to say no. So if you've got something that comes up that should be during this creative time, how easy is it for you to say no? Actually, I can't do 9 o'clock, or I can't do 1:30, or I can't do that particular time. Because, and you don't need to tell people, you can just say, I've already got another appointment, I've got another call, I've got something else on at that time. How prepared do you feel for that conversation? And those boundaries are so important, not only because it makes us take our writing seriously, but also because it preserves that little pocket of time for creative energy to flow and for our imaginations to go wild and for our fingers to hit that keyboard and really get some words on the page. So boundaries are super important. So again, I invite you to reflect, how good are your boundaries and what could you do to preserve some of this energy and this creative time? What could you say no to? Or how could you build in some small snippets of time that feel right for you, but also mean that you're going to make progress with your book? The third thing is, how can we actively pursue activities that fill our creativity cups? Anne Lamott, in her amazing book, Bird by Bird, talks about how often writer's block is put down to feeling stuck or feeling as though we can't move forward. But what she believes is that writer's block is down to a feeling of emptiness. We've given all of our creative energy to a project. And irritatingly for me recently, all of my creative energy has been going on to other people's projects and not my own. Now, obviously, as a copywriter, I'm going to have to do that. I'm going to have to give part of my creative energy to other people because that's what being a copywriter is. And I completely embrace that. But there is a point now where actually none of my creative energy is going on to my own work. And I feel empty when it comes to writing my book because I've got nothing left to give. So what can I do to replenish that cup? What can I do to start getting more energy back into my own work? And for me, that's often walking the dog. It's going for a run. It's having coffee with my husband. It's spending time with the kids. It's reading, because I truly believe reading is the thing that's going to make me a better writer and make you a better writer, come to say it. So I find reading is just a brilliant way of refilling my cup of energy and enthusiasm and motivation for writing. So what does it look like for you? What are those things that you do that can help replenish? They're nothing to do with writing itself. It's just all these other things that can fill up your energy levels and your enjoyment of writing. And it often comes from things that are nothing to do with it, but help you feel better, help your well-being, help you feel nourished. And this leads me nicely onto the final point around creative energy needs rest. It needs time away. It needs relaxation. And that might look different for everybody. Relaxation for me is, yes, reading, but also it's watching a brilliant Netflix show with my husband, or it's just doing a little bit of breathing exercises. Something that is time where I'm actively resting is so important, and getting good sleep. Good sleep is really important. Feeling nourished with what I'm eating and putting in my body, getting outside regularly. But rest and relaxation are an important part of being creative. That's where our ideas often will come, when we're doing things where we're in a very relaxed state. Mine is often just that point between awake and asleep. That joyous moment where I get an idea and I'm like, oh, quickly write it down before you forget. And that just shows how our brains need that relaxation mode to work at their best. And along with rest comes self-compassion. And we can be hard on ourselves as writers, as creative people. We can be hard on ourselves as business owners. But self-compassion and kindness to self really makes a difference. If you had in your diary to do 5 writing sprints and you only managed to do 2, you need to be kind to yourself and say, do you know what? I've had such a busy week. I'm really proud that I got those 2 sessions done. Or it could be that you are wanting to go out for a nice walk and you don't quite manage it, and you only manage to go out for 10 minutes rather than half an hour or whatever it is. And you start to berate yourself and think, well, I need to get out to get some fresh air and I need to fill up my energy and fill up my creativity cup, but I only managed 10 minutes. And I think, actually, let's be kind. Let's think to ourselves, do you know what? You got out for 10 minutes. That's better than not getting out at all, or whatever it is. But those are just 2 examples. But I do believe that self-compassion is a big part of an author toolkit. I think it's an important part to make sure that you are aware of how you speak to yourself, how you encourage yourself, how you allow your creativity to flow, whether you're being too self-critical. All these things can drain our energy as well. If we're writing and we constantly have that inner critic talking to us while we're in the writing process, it can feel really draining. And actually, it puts you off, doesn't it? It puts you off sitting down to write because you think, oh, I'm just going to end up hating everything I write. And that goes back to the first draft and releasing all the expectations and all that stuff that I talk about in the episode around first drafts. So it's so important that you look at how compassionate you're being to yourself, how much time you are giving to yourself to do the things that help you feel energized for your writing. So there you have it. My creative energy is one of my most treasured things. I know how important it is for me to protect it, and I've been doing not a great job of it recently, but with a self-compassionate hat on, I will say that I've had lots of things that have been getting in the way. And as I said in the introduction to this podcast, I've had to make some big decisions, some scary decisions around how much of my creative energy I'm willing to give to other people and how much I want to keep for myself so that I can achieve my writing goals. When I let these other things weigh me down, when I let them come in and take my energy, I lose sight of what's important to me. Whether you're writing your first book or you've been writing for a while, protecting our energy and protecting our time and setting good boundaries is so important. It's the only way forward. It's not selfish. It's not indulgent. It's just necessary in order to pursue whatever your writing goals are, whatever your journey is. To be able to do it justice, you need to have this protective shield, shall we say, around your energy. And that allows us to get our best work out into the world. And more importantly than anything, enjoy it. Thank you so much for listening today. I know it's been a bit more of a reflective episode. It's been a bit more of a personal story. It's been a bit more of a real thought provoker, I hope, in your own creative energy. And if you're feeling a lull in yours, then I completely hear you. I completely feel how you're feeling. But I think by putting these things into place, the prioritizing the time and having little rituals that help you, having some boundaries, pursuing the other stuff that helps our creativity cups, helps us feel energized, but also building in the rest and the self-compassion. Those things are really going to be helpful. And I hope as I move forward with those things in mind, that you can move forward with those things in mind too, and that it helps you. If you know someone else who's feeling a bit of a creative energy lull at the moment, or you know that they've been working super hard on a project and you feel like they might benefit from listening to this, then send it their way. And if you have any comments, if you've got anything that you want to share, then do get in touch, steph@stephcaswell.com. I always love to hear your thoughts on the podcast and how perhaps it's helped you or impacted you in a positive way. If you want to reach out on social media, you can find me at Steph Caswell Author on Instagram. You can also find me on LinkedIn. But until next time, my friend, happy, happy writing.